Hello, hello, fearless listeners. Are you ready for another episode of Let Fear Bounce? It's the podcast that's all about conquering challenges and facing our fears. I'm your host, Kim Langling, and each week we'll dive into inspiring stories, expert insights, and practical tips to help you turn your fear into your greatest ally. So sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and let's discover how to make fear our bouncing board towards a life filled with endless possibilities right here on Let Fear Bounce. Welcome back to another episode of Let Fear Bounce, folks. This is Kim Langling, your host. Now, today's episode is part two of my amazing conversation with Ruth Thompson, the founder of the Anna Shelter, a no-kill animal shelter located in Erie, Pennsylvania. And this week's episode starts off with talking about her fears and how she lets them bounce. So, folks, grab that cup of coffee, sit back, relax, and listen in to the show.
Got faith, bigger faith than I have fear. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm scared. There's a lot of times I'm scared and a lot of times, but I won't let it stop me. You know, I figure out a way around it and I keep going. One day, you know, it's funny because, you know, I learned through going through some of my therapy, it was like, you know, some days people say one day at a time. Well, I mean, there was a time when I was living, you know, moment to moment and breath to breath, you know, and, but I kept on moving. Like I kept going forward and, you know, here we are.
You know, and I, my therapist,
I hate saying that, but you know, then I'm like, well, kind of, you know, whatever, everybody's going.
Well, you know
it,
what so. Though? There's so many people sitting out there that are afraid to share stuff like that. I want people to hear my truth.
Yeah.
But, one thing that my therapist shared with me a while ago, and I literally have it written on a sticky note above my laptop. So it's on the wall. So as soon as I sit down, it's the first thing I see. And it says, my success rate for getting through the tough shit is 100%.
Yeah. Well, amen.
And she said that to me one day and she goes, Kim, look at all the stuff that you've gone through. And I'm like, I don't want to look at it today. You know, had my little anger hat on. I don't want to look at it today. And she says, no, I want you to look at it. She goes, because you have a 100% success rate for getting through it because you're still here.
Exactly.
How can you get any better than a 100% success rate? She goes, so you've got to look at it that way.
Yep, exactly.
That sentence, I'm telling you, for me anyway, looking at that sticky note, and I'm pointing at it right now, no one can see me.
Yeah.
But looking at that every day, I'm like, all right, I got my big girl panties.
You got
this. We're gonna take this day on.
You know? Yeah. And I know there's people that hate when I say it, but I always say like, we got this. Like, you know, that's one of my catchphrases at the shelter. And I love hearing the girls regurgitate. Like there's times when I'll hear them talking to each other and I'm like, oh my God, these little mini me's. And I'm so thankful. Cause I mean, some of them are very impressionable. They're the 18 to 25 year olds, you know, and I hear them giving each other pep talks and saying like, okay guys, we got this, you know, like, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like if I can, that teachable moment, like if they're remembering and emulating something I said or did, like, it just feels so good that I'm like making that impact. And corny, I know it sounds it, but like, if I can leave that legacy on them and maybe that'll help them in whatever, whether it's work or relationships or whatever. And yeah, we have some deep talks at the shelter. Like I get these girls to go deep, you know, girls and guys, we've got some great guys that work for us too. But, you know, to just expand their thinking and, you know,
just to simply say, we've got this when there are so many who wouldn't even be able to mumble that.
Yeah. It's like
they
my
would just let themselves fall into this state just because they don't have that positive reinforcement in their lives.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm so thankful for good parents. I mean, my mom and dad, you can't teach a work ethic. And I'm the youngest of seven. And I mean, we all work hard. And I'm so proud of my family. But my parents, like, just so thankful for the work ethic, for the morals, the ethics, the what they instilled in me. And then they lived it, you know, and I just, it breaks my heart. I have staff members and tenants that don't have those examples. So if I can be that example to them, I want to be like that. I want that to be my thing too. So yeah, we got this. And then the other one I love is successful people take risks. I probably mutter that one a couple times a week when I'm afraid to do something new. And then another one, thank God, I hate social media for myself. Like I don't want people to know what I'm doing, but or people like want to know what you eat. Like, okay, well, you don't need to know what I have for dinner. But there, I just got a memory Facebook shared with me, and it said, instead of worrying about what could go wrong, get excited about what could go right. And I love that one because, you know, yeah, we waste so much. I read something, 85% of what you worry about in the future never happens. So
Right.
like, I tell the girls out of the shelter all the time, like, they'll be like, well, what if we get there and this is what we find? I'm like, what if it's not that? Like, let's not waste the energy on something that may not be. If we get there and that's what we encounter, okay, then we're going to deal with it that moment. But we're not going to waste our energy driving there thinking of all the horrible things. It might be
Right.
okay. You know, we
Right.
might get there and it might be cool.
You're setting the wrong tone if you do
Yeah,
that.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, a
So I.
friend of mine, a dear lady, she was actually my fourth grade teacher.
Oh, neat.
And she's a good friend of mine now, and she's a tremendous fabric artist. She's just truly talented. She gave me a piece of fabric art that she made. It was just simply the word trust. And when she gave it to me, she said, "God has laid you on my heart, and he also told me I'm supposed to give this to you." And I said, "Well, it's beautiful. Why is the word trust?" And she said, "I don't know what's going on in your life." She goes, "But when I reached out to you, I knew I had to do this and I had to share this with you. And this is the message. You cannot trust and worry at the same time."
Dude, that's impactful. That's big.
I know. And the
That's
thing is,
big.
I hadn't heard from her or seen her in months and months. And this was years ago. And she said, "If you've got time when you're out and about, or if on your lunch hour, stop by my shop. I have something for you." It was just a seemingly random phone call from her.
Not at all.
Right. And
Divine
she
intervention.
said, yeah, she said, "God has laid your name on my heart." And the word trust was just so prevalent. So she made this piece of fabric, and I have it's framed. She gave it to me framed and everything. And it hangs on my wall in my dining room.
That's
So each
fantastic.
night when I sit down to eat dinner, I can look up and see the word trust.
That is fantastic. That gave me goosebumps. I love
It's
that.
amazing. Yeah. And
Yeah.
you had said earlier how people are put in your lives could be for a minute. Maybe it's just for, that quick drop off, but that person was there for a reason.
Yes. Season, reason, lifetime.
Yes,
I mean, I'm always looking
exactly.
at relationships. And I'm like, okay, God, where does this person fit into my life? You know, season, reason, lifetime. And yeah, it's just so fascinating to watch that. And that's, I sometimes, and again, not to like harp on the faith thing, but people that don't, like, how do you get through a day? Like, how do you get through the day if you don't have something to believe in?
I think there's a lot of people that carry a lot of weight that they don't need to, and a
Yeah.
lot of it, might be bitterness, loneliness,
Yeah.
hopelessness, depression, anxiety. Now,
Yeah, let it go.
I carry some of that with me sometimes because that
Sure.
just comes with PTSD.
Right.
Just
Yeah.
part of the
Yeah.
joy of it. But I also now can recognize it, look at it, recognize it, call it out for what it is, and deal with it.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of it. I just was talking to somebody and she said something to me and same thing. It hit me so hard. She said, you know, you've got to remember to speak from your heart and not from your ego. And I acted like, oh yeah, okay, good thinking. I like that. And then I'm like, what the hell did that mean? You know, so I went and I Googled it. I was like, what does that mean? And man, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I tend to be the kind of person that, you know, I want everybody to be happy. I don't want anybody to be hurting. I don't, you know, I want to be the peacekeeper. And, you know, and so I was not following my heart and not speaking from my heart. And what a difference that that makes when you speak your truth, you know, and when you get that out there. And I think people respect it. And I think respect is so important. So yeah,
And I think you
this
have
is
to respect yourself first.
yeah, and that's a hard one, especially I think caregivers and people like me. I went to a compassion fatigue seminar and it was put on by one of the hospitals. My brother is a physician and he invited me. So I was around like nurses and doctors, but my brother had gone through it and he was like, Ruth, this is so you, like you need to be here. And it talked about how caregivers, we have very low boundaries because we are constantly bringing people in and wanting to take care of them and wanting to help them. Like I consider myself much better as a partner. Like I love having someone or something. And when I say to take care of, I don't mean like, you know, I want to be your mother, but I want to like help you and be there for you. And it was just such a cool thing because there are people that don't respect our boundaries, and that's where we get taken advantage of, and we stop speaking our truths and we start putting our needs I've said a million times, like, well, I'll take the hurt and not let someone else hurt. I'll just take the hurt on. And, that literally caused me, believe it or not, which I'm sure you'll understand, a physical issue. And I went to see a cardiologist and I had so stupid. I had to have a surgery. Went to UPMC in Pittsburgh and they do like this full body scan. And so the doctor said, well, I have good news, I can remove what's going on. I don't think it's a big deal, but did anybody tell you that you have an enlarged heart? And I was like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I really want you to see a cardiologist prior to coming for the surgery. So I went to this cardiologist and thank God I was his last appointment of the day. This man was amazing. Again, this guy was sent by God because it was last appointment of the day. And he literally like took his glasses off and he sat down and he's like, we need to talk about this. He's like, this is not hereditary. This is not genetic. He's like, there's a reason your heart is beating, incorrectly, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there were like way more medical terms, but it ended up that I had let stress and worry and overcompensating and taking on so many other people's problems and burdens that I had literally caused my heart to have an enlarged aorta. And he's like, the good news is, we can stop it from getting bigger. He said, we can't stop it. We can't shrink it, but we can stop it from getting bigger. And I mean, just that guy, like, I'm not kidding you. I spent almost 2 hours. Like, his nurses were leaving for the day, and he's just like, no, I'm gonna hang out here with Ruth. Like, we had the most amazing conversation. And today, to this day, we still email. I'll just get a random email from him because he's in Pittsburgh, and he'll be like, how you doing? How's it going? My heart's great. I'm in great shape. But it was getting rid of all that stress and all that angst and all that taking on so many other people's problems. And again, it was a personal thing. It wasn't anything with my professional life, but yeah, I mean, if we can help people in that too, like you gotta let that stuff go. You can't take that stuff on.
And at least recognize, I mean, I had to do the same thing. I
Yeah.
was, it was just constant. And mine is I'm helping people, I'm helping veterans. And I did it for so long, so
Yeah.
long.
You said 24 years.
Yeah. And that's just one thing of what we do. That's the one that I kept. I
Wow.
cut a lot out
Yeah, you
because
have to.
I was getting phone calls just like you 24/7.
Yeah.
Working with homeless veterans or those that are soon to be homeless. A lot of them have so many issues,
Yeah.
many, many issues. And I'm this, I'm the sole female. And so a lot of times I would have to be making extra calls like, hey, I need somebody to come with me. I can't walk into this situation
Yeah.
by myself. And, so there's a lot of that. There was so much for probably about 15 years I did that. And then I realized I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah, that's your
And,
body begging you to stop.
I already had a marriage fall apart and, had went through a divorce, had a couple people in my family, just naturally pass away. And there was a whole lot of stuff that happened all at once that
Yeah.
literally brought me to my knees.
Yeah.
I was
Yeah.
on my knees on my living room floor, sobbing, thinking I was losing my mind.
Yes. Oh my God. We are. Yes.
And I realized I wasn't. It took a while though. And that's actually when I came to my faith. I'm a late bloomer. I didn't come to my faith until my mid 30s. I
Okay.
was not raised in the church or with church or with church going family members. Just wasn't raised that way. But God always finds a way to get to you.
Yeah. He'll
And
get you on
he
your
found me
knees.
on my knees on my living room floor. But when it felt like life was just crushing me, and then I realized, wow, I've got to put up some boundaries. I've got to tighten up my tribe circle,
Yeah, keep
which
your
means
circle
some have
small.
to, which meant some had to go,
Yeah, and that's okay.
and that's okay. Yes, it's okay. And
Yeah.
you can't take, can't take it personal when people get angry for your decisions for your own well-being.
Right.
It's like,
And that's
your
hard.
anger, that's all about you, dear heart. It has
Yeah.
nothing to do with me. I know what's best for me. You don't. So,
Right.
and I had to be able to do that with confidence and not let others' opinions sway me. And so, that was probably, well, I think it was right around the time I turned 50. So 5, 6 years ago, I just said, okay, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And so many, they're like, what do you mean you can't? You've always done it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and I think that is it's part of probably our age. And I when I turned 50, which 2 years ago, I'm 52, and I said to the girls at the shelter, I said, you know what? The next 50 years are going to be all about me. Like, I'm going to start making what makes Ruth happy. And you know what was really sad, Kim? I couldn't remember what makes Ruth happy. Like,
Took a while
what?
to
And
think about it, didn't it?
and I was like, okay, my horses, my dogs, like, but like, what makes me happy? And it was scary. So it's funny because it's taken me 2 years, but I'm finally like on a path where I feel like, but yeah, I've hurt some people and I've, you know, had to set boundaries and I've had to make decisions that I knew in my heart were the right decisions for me. And, you know, and that was hard because I don't like hurting people and I don't, and it crushes me. But yeah, you know, my choices were either I'm unhappy so that other people think I'm happy, or I truly make some decisions. And you know, somebody said to me, you know, between now and dead, and it hit me. Like I was like, wow, like, you know, like, okay, this is it, you know.
Right.
So here I
You had a
am.
good point there. You had to think about what made you happy. I
Yeah.
had to sit there for a while and I'm like, okay, for the last so many years, I've just been mom. I've been a wife. I've been a mom. Who's Kim?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it took me, actually, it took me quite a few months to figure out who Kim was again.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
what is it that brings me joy? Kim, what do you do for yourself to have fun or to relax? And I literally had no answer.
Yeah. I get it. I 100%.
And that was the spark
Yeah.
that got me thinking, wow, Kim, if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to be so unhealthy by the time you're 50 or by the time you're
Yeah.
60, you know, or retirement age comes and you're going to be too sick to do anything.
Right. Yeah. When I was asked the same question, I was like, well, sometimes I take a bath, you know, and I was like, that's so pathetic. Like, oh my God, like I take a bath. Like, okay, like, but yeah, it is. And I thank God, I guess, that we got here. And I say that too. Like, if I can save anybody else, like the trouble, like just don't do what I did. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
learn now. Like my girls, my daughter, I'm telling you. So my daughter's amazing. And it's funny. I adopted her when she was five. And so I've had friends say, like, when were you pregnant? I'm like, oh, never. But she has like those little nuggets of wisdom. Like there have been times where like she'll say something and I'm like, oh my God, like where, who are you? Like again, season, reason, lifetime.
Right.
She just said something to me the other day and God, Rosie, like this is like, yeah, you're right. Like I need to think like that more. So, and so I'm just so proud that she already as a woman is so much further along than I was at 29. I was a huge people pleaser and constantly like, what does somebody want? What do they want me to be? Where do, you know? And man, my daughter is resolute. Like, this is who I am. Like me or don't like me, this is me. And oh my God, I love that about her. And I admire that. And I joke with her. I'm like, Rosie, you need a little of my softness and I need a little of your hardness. 'Cause I mean, when she was going through dating guys, I mean, she'd break up with them at the drop of a hat and just be like, yep, wasn't working. I didn't like him. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, was he sad? Like, did you talk? She's like, Mom, I'm done. Like, I don't need to call him again. Like, and I was like, well, maybe just make sure he's okay. And she's like, no, Mom, he's fine. He's an adult. He'll be fine. You know, I was like, Rosie, like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But she did it. And like, I'm so proud of her that she is who she is. And I mean, she's pulls off purple hair and does all, and she's cool with it. She does her thing and she's who she is. And so, yeah, I'm so proud of her, but I wish I was a little more like her, you know?
I'm more like that. Have always been kind of my own person, even growing
Yeah.
up, which was bumpy. It was bumpy for me. I was very outspoken and always sticking up for the underdog,
Yeah,
always.
that's awesome.
And when you're younger, you don't know how to do that the right way.
Yeah.
And where I grew up at, for, you know, I don't know, maybe it was the time, I don't know, but I had a couple friends that were going through some really awful stuff. You know, they tell you when you're younger, just go to an adult, go talk to an adult. But then when you go to talk to the adults, they're like, oh, that's a family situation. We can't
Yeah,
interfere in
we're not
that.
talking about that.
So
Yeah.
nothing was ever done. Might have been the time that I grew up in. So my mouth, I got in trouble for what would come out of my mouth. And I'd always get in trouble for it. And but no one else is doing anything. And I'm
Yeah.
only 15. You're telling me I'm supposed to go an adult and I come to you and you don't do anything. So I was always kind of like, the loud one, in your face one. But it was always done with the right heart in mind. I wasn't trying to be a troublemaker. I was just trying to be heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I mean, that's, and now hopefully you can be that adult that listens. And I think,
And I have found, yes. And now
yeah.
I am that person that I'll be like, I'll be like, okay, I not only see you, sweetie, but I hear you too.
I hear you. Yeah. I love that because I've said that before. Like, are you looking at me? Do you see me? Do you hear me? Like, yeah, there's a huge difference when people actually hear what you're saying or listening to
Right.
what you're saying. And I can validate you and I can let
Yes.
you know that you have been heard and that I can understand. And yeah. And sometimes even if you can't understand, respect what they're saying. And sometimes just having somebody dump their stuff on you is enough, then they can kind of
Right.
move on, that word
Right.
vomit,
And then there's oftentimes, especially with younger folks, I found, for whatever reason, people open up, they'll dump on me, complete strangers,
Yeah, I know.
in a grocery store. And
We are the same person.
you'll be
Yeah,
like,
we are the
wow, that was a
person.
lot.
Yeah.
And but I don't know what it is that attracts that to me, because I'm often saying, why does that happen? And I'll get in the car, be like, okay, God, thank you for having that person find
Yeah.
me. I hope I was able to help them. Now help me take that weight that they just put on my shoulders off.
Exactly.
I carry
Yeah.
it. And
You
that's another
can.
reason I had to separate myself from so much, because I carried way too much.
Yeah. I feel like and that's why when the whole pandemic thing, I hated, like, I'm a hugger. Like, I'm a touch person. Like, touch is one of my love languages. Like, I need to touch. And I mean, even when COVID, I was like, I probably hug 10 people a day at the shelter. Somebody's coming in, they've got an issue or problem, like, and I'll hug them and say, like, I'll pray for you. Like, I'll keep in my prayers. And people, there are some people that don't know what to say. They're kind of like, oh. And then other people are like, thank you. Like, please, will you? And I always ask for their first name. Or lady came in today, she had to surrender two dogs, and she said, my husband was just diagnosed, he's terminally ill, I have to go live with my daughter, I can't take my two dogs. So obviously I had her name because the paperwork, and I said, what's your husband's name? And she kind of looked at me and I said, I want to be able to pray for both of you. And like, she just started weeping in the office. And so I was like hugging her. And but I just think that's so important to just have that moment of, not just sharing my faith, but sharing the touch, like the human contact. Like,
Right.
I think there's so much value to that.
Just brought up a great thing, and so I know we kind of veered off of the shelter, but I
Okay.
love
It's
how
okay.
these conversations
It's
go on this
okay.
show.
Yeah.
They're going exactly the way it's supposed to
The
go.
way they're supposed to.
But you just mentioned that, this beautiful soul came in and had to surrender her two dogs because it wasn't a neglect case, it wasn't an
No.
abuse case, it was a heart-wrenching thing for her.
Yeah.
Because her
Horrible.
husband's diagnosed with a terminal illness and she's no longer to be able to care for the dogs. I mean, and how I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that that probably happens way more than people realize.
All the time. It's awful. And everybody's got a story. Everybody's got, and one of the things that I have taught the girls, and I'm proud of us at our shelter, we do not judge. It is a judgment-free zone, because just because someone comes in to surrender their pet and they're stone-faced and they're signing the papers and they're not saying anything, I'm like, you guys don't know. She might have sat in her car for 2 hours bawling her eyes out, but she's not that person in public. So she comes in here, because I would have staff members say, like, oh, that lady, I can't believe she's just doing this. Well, I'm like, yeah, you don't know. This might have been the worst day of her life. She might be going through some shit at home. And it's not for us to judge. We don't do
Right.
that. I refuse. Like, I'm adamant that they don't act like that. We
And
don't judge
life
people. That's not my
circumstances could
job.
have changed.
Yeah.
Maybe they financially can't take care of that animal anymore.
Exactly. And they're
You
making
just
the
don't
best
know.
decision. They're not dumping it in the woods. They're not giving it away free on Craigslist. They're
Right.
bringing it to us. That's what we're here for. So yeah, I don't ever want to judge. That's not my job.
That's another thing. I'm glad you mentioned that. Please don't list animals for free on Craigslist, people.
No, I
Whoever's
literally,
listening,
so
please don't do that. Please
let
don't
me
do
tell you, I
that.
remember, like, people would say, oh, those animals are going to be, oh, I would say, that's not true. Nobody does that. I sat in a court hearing for 4 days and listened to testimony and read text messages between dog fighters who would send their girlfriends, free beagle on Craigslist. And the guy said to the girlfriend, Don't worry if they say the dog bites or pees in the house. He'll be in the dirt by the end of the night, literally using this dog as a bait dog. And I read those over and over how many times they were going to get the free dog, this, you know, and I was like, oh my God. And I also feel like you got to have some skin in the game. You know, owning an animal is not a right, it's a privilege. And, you know, you've got to know that they cost money, there's value to them. And so, and at our shelter, everything's surgically altered, they're microchipped, they're current on their vaccines, everything's done prior to them leaving. So, you know, what would cost you $400 to $600 at your veterinarian, which, and some people say, well, I wouldn't go to a vet. Well, then you're an irresponsible pet owner. Like, you shouldn't have a pet if
Right.
you're not going to do all those things. So, you know, the $150 or the $200 adoption fee, you know, gets you quite a lot of bang for your buck. You're essentially getting a free dog. You're getting all the medical stuff done to it already.
Right.
So,
And the thing is, I always say to folks, because I firmly believe in adopting animals, and my dogs have all been adopted.
thank you.
You have to make sure. It's a commitment for that pet's lifetime.
Yeah.
It's not something you ever do on a whim. Oh, I want a puppy. It's a
No, all right.
commitment for that pet's lifetime. So
Yeah.
you have to make sure that you are physically, mentally, and financially able to care for that pet's lifetime.
I say that every day. Do you have the resources necessary? And people will go, oh, I have plenty of money. I'm like, no. Do you have
As
time? Do you have energy? Do you have patience? Like, these are resources. Yes, finances is a resource, but do you have all the resources necessary to bring this animal home? Because we go by the 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months rule. Like, there's an
I was
adjustment
just gonna
period.
say 333.
Yeah, there's an adjustment period. Like, are you going to be patient? Like, you know,
Right.
are you going to put up with what's going on to help them settle? But again, retention's big to me, and I'm all about, you know, helping people get through those times. So, but yeah, I mean, I call it like it is, and I deny adoptions. I mean, I'm the person that people get pissed at and fire off nasty stuff on Facebook, and I'm okay with that. Like, we are one of, I'm so proud of us. We don't shut off reviews. We don't shut off comments. Like, you want to run your mouth and say something bad about me? Go ahead. Like, you know, I mean,
That's
everyone's
just a reflection of
available.
who that person is.
They are entitled to their opinion.
Right.
And, you know, I do take the shelter very personal. It is very much a part of who I am. But, you know, if they had a bad experience, I want to know about it. And but sometimes the bad experience is justified, you know, like sometimes, yeah, you know, I turned you down for a reason, you know, and, you know, 20 years ago, might I have been a little more, you know, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. But now I'm like 20 years in, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Like, you know, we're doing this
Right.
my way, you
Right.
know.
And you know, and it's your right to turn someone down because
Yeah.
you're not going to hand an animal over to just anyone.
That's my animal until I feel like going with you is a better option,
Right.
you know, or as good of an option as being with me. Like, I firmly believe that. And we did just over 8,000 animals last year. And I mean, again, I send them off, you know, praying that God does his, you know, because we can't guarantee that
Right.
everything's going to work out. We can't guarantee the same thing with humans and children, and you know, but I put them out there with, you know, under God's guide, and you know, hopefully things work out. And yeah, so far so good, girl. It'll be yeah, it's been a long time, but yeah, so
You can
far it's
just do the
working.
best that you can and just keep on keeping on.
All we can do, the best you can do every day. Yeah.
That's right. But I do want to get ready to wrap
All
up here, and I ask all of
right.
my guests to toss out a nugget of hope to the listeners out there today. So, what would your nugget of hope be that you want to toss out there?
My negative hope would be just the one day at a time. You know, as corny as that sounds, for me, it's one day, one animal at a time. And I truly live that. But I think just in every day, just one day at a time. You know, don't worry about what happened in the past. Don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. Just, you know, somebody said to me one time, the present, it's called the present because it's a gift. And I truly believe that. So stay right where you're at one day at a time and get it done.
That's right. Perfect. And you can't trust and worry at the same time.
Amen. I love that. I'm going to use that.
Has been so awesome. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Yes.
Let folks know, and all of this will be in the show notes, folks, how to get in touch and make donations and stuff like that.
Yes.
But share the website with the listeners out there if you would.
Yeah, it's theannashelter.com. So it is the word THE and then Anna Shelter, Anna just like a girl's name, .com. Big social media presence, TikTok, which I have no idea how to use that, but TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, that new X thing. The girls are all over some of that stuff. So yeah, follow us on social media. Sharing our posts is a huge way to help us. That doesn't cost you any money. So Anything that you can do to help, talk about the shelter, talk about what we do, that helps. So yeah,
You
that's where
can
you find us.
make donations right through the website as well,
Through the
correct?
website. Yep, absolutely. We have Venmo, PayPal, all those safe ways to donate.
Now, another thing, you have donations that through your website and such that they come from worldwide. It's not just from
Yeah.
this local area. And of course, this episode is out there for the world,
Yeah,
on
that's awesome.
all of the podcast listening platforms as well as YouTube. So it's a wide range of folks. So you can, if you feel, that your heart's leading you to help out,
Yeah.
you want to help the Anna Shelter, visit the website, which is
Yeah.
theannashelter.com, and you can donate right through there. And you regularly do get donations from around the world.
Oh my gosh, crazy. We had a horse rescue not that long ago, and I was getting donations from Australia. Somehow it got shared to some Australian news story. But yeah, we've had donations from Dubai, crazy, crazy places that I've never even heard of. So yeah, we're so blessed. I can't, yeah. That's again, that's what makes me know, like, okay, I am doing exactly what I'm supposed to
Right.
do. This
Right.
is right. So
All right. Well, Ruth, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for spending some
thank you
time with
for
me
having
today.
me. I can't wait to see you again.
When we're going to make that happen.
I can't wait. I would
Because
love
we
that.
can. Because we can.
That's
Us
right, Tammy. Yes.
usually my guests are from like thousands of miles away. So
No, I'm like right here. We're gonna go for coffee soon.
yeah, you're kind of in the backyard. So it's
Love it.
perfect.
Love it.
All right, well, thank you once again for
You're
being my
welcome.
guest on
Thank
Let Fear
you.
Bounce. And everybody out there, I hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed having this conversation with Ruth. And I hope you learned a few things and you're able to tuck that nugget in your pocket and carry with you that Ruth shared. And that's about it. We're gonna wrap it up for today. This is Kim Langling, your host of Let Fear Bounce. Everybody be well, stay well, and be blessed. And that is a wrap, my fearless friends. Thanks for bouncing along with me on another episode of Let Fear Bounce. I hope you're feeling a bit motivated and ready to take on any challenge that might come your way in the coming days. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Let Fear Bounce. Tune in each week for your dose of inspiration from my amazing guests from all over the world. So until next time, keep bouncing forward and stay fearless, my friends. Everybody be well, stay well, and above all, be blessed.